You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to do more of a chill voice, Greg. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Radio, on the Civic Media Network. See what I did there?
There it is.
It's a Wednesday night in Wisconsin, a beautiful night. I hope you're having a great day wherever you're joining us from. We are on in several markets, and we hope you be part of the show, folks. Our phone lines are always open, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We have another great guest coming up in just a few minutes. This guy's kind of a renaissance man, Greg, of show business.
Yeah.
He's a singer-songwriter, an actor, and he's got a show over here at the Overture Center. His name is Tom Castle, and he's going to talk to us about that in just a few minutes. I can't wait. I actually asked Tim Sowers about this the other night.
You feel like they're an entertainer. That's an old term, or I shouldn't say old term. It's a term that, if you want to be called an entertainer, you're not just a singer. You're a dancer, an actor.
Right.
You provide the entire thing. You are an entertainer. That's what I hear that as. That's a high bar of praise and title for me. Like, if you are an entertainer, you have what it takes to do all the things. Like, to me, Ariana Grande is an entertainer. She is funny. She is a singer, dancer, the whole thing. She can do all of it.
Absolutely. And it's sort of like you're at least a triple threat. You can sing, you can act, you can tell stories. Like, Tom Castle does tell stories. And I have to say that when Terry Barr was on the show over a year ago, she introduced me to some of Tom's music. And I was doing the research yesterday, and I was kind of like, I know this guy. And then I looked through my emails, and we had, but his songs are great. His show is called Dan Seavey Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate. And I'm very curious to talk to him about Great Lakes piracy. It'll be fun. If you missed the show, folks, it is available in podcast form at civicmedia.us. We had a great talk with Andrew Trexler, PhD in poli-sci, and he also teaches poli-sci here at UW-Madison. That was a really fun conversation. And, you know, what do you say? Should we just go crazy here and reintroduce the question of the night?
Let's do it.
What are we doing?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Do I not get a vote?
Question.
It was already two.
Question. Okay, I have a question.
Questions?
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Questions.
Well,
I know I'm the new guy. Wait, hold on. I know I'm the new guy here. I know I'm new to this whole Nightlight 2.0, but I would at least like to be able to register an answer on whether or not we should restate the question of the night.
That's a mea culpa. And Tucker was here. It could have been a tie vote. So you're right, Greg. I apologize.
And my vote is yes.
Let's do it. That was totally worth it. It's registered dietitian spelled wrong and nutritionist day. What is something you wish you could stop eating? That is our question. What is something you wish you could stop eating? 855-752-4842. You can text us on the Civic Media app, which is outstanding. And by the way, Greg, I don't know if you know this, you'll need the Civic Media app, not you, but our listeners, if they want to play our multi-state text-to-win contest, which starts Monday. So you have the app to play. That's pretty much all you need.
We'll have more details on that as the days come forward. It'll be a lot of fun. There'll be great prizes to talk about. But yeah, I mean, we love to hear from you. We love having people's comments in the sections. We love listening to people's thoughts on this. This was a tough one for me personally. I don't know how you guys approach the question, but Pete, what would be something? Okay, because to me in my head, I don't connect what I eat to whether or not it'll be healthy. It for me, it's about amounts. So, I know that if I won't say, like, oh, I wish I could stop eating ice cream. I only eat ice cream a few times a month. What are your thoughts on the question? It's a deeper question than I'm giving it. I'm thinking way too much about it. But, Pete, what are your thoughts immediately when you really posed it?
Well, Yeah, I think for me, it's like, I'm with you. It's about amounts. Like, I always used to have this conversation. I had a friend who was always thin, never put on weight. And that's a very healthy way to be. He might not need knee or hip replacement surgery, but he might have high blood pressure. It's like, is it better to eat healthy and carry extra weight? Or is it better to not have to worry about it and keep the weight off? I don't know. I'm not one of those people. If I eat, I gain weight. So I say anything that's deep fried or with artificial sugar. Those are two things I would like to. And so to your point, it's not like I don't ever not want to have a soda again, but if I do, I'll drink a Mexican Coke or I'll drink the real sugar Orange Crush or whatever, not something with, you know, high fructose corn syrup. And really, I've heard from so many people that deep fried stuff will kill you, literally.
I think that, you know, when you speak about it, like in those terms, I wish that I could stop eating processed food.
Okay.
Same. Like, You want to make like I'll go for the most, you know, whatever version. You want to take a piece of string cheese. I know how much you hate string cheese, Pete. Take a piece of string cheese, and you want to deep fry it. That's fine. Then you deep fry it yourself. Like, you do all the work yourself, and you make it as healthy as possible. Like, now, deep fried cheese is not healthy in the long run, but if you can take out as much of the processing as possible, I think that's what I would do.
Yes.
Like when people say things like, oh, I don't eat processed sugar. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, how do you, like, to me, sugar isn't everything. That's what I would do. I would get rid of processed sugar and I would stop eating processed food. That's what I would get rid of. I wouldn't stop eating certain foods. I just try to make them as healthy as possible, if that's possible.
And you could do, listen, folks, you can answer this question any way you want. If you just, like some people on the text line here, Maureen from Nina said potato chips. That's perfectly fine too. If I could never eat another chip, I'd be thrilled. So answer it however you want. Greg and I got kind of technical there, and that's okay too if you want something like that. But answer the question and be part of the show.
Brett and Brown Deer listening to WAUK says the one thing I would like to stop eating is actually a drink. It's soda, and that's you know, I mean, I can't remember what documentary I was watching, but I was, you know, they were talking about how much, you know, the stuff we take in, and we don't even think about it, and people are drinking 2, 3, 4, they're drinking 2 to 4 2-liter bottles of soda a day. And that's just, and so when people talk about things such as like, I wish I could stop drinking diet soda, I'm like, because, and this is very insensitive of me, I just say, well, then stop. Just don't do it.
Right.
Like, why, like when people speak about certain things as almost in like addictive terms, I don't understand it. Cause I don't drink a ton of soda. I drink like root beer every once in a while. Cause that's that is freaking good.
It's good stuff,
But you never catch me with like, oh, I'll take a Coca-Cola. Nothing against Coca-Cola, but I just don't do that. I just find it so fascinating when people talk about soda in those terms because I can't imagine being pulled so deeply into that where you feel like you have to say, I wish I could stop drinking them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Carmela in the 414 says, Pete and Greg, oh, this is in relation to the names. I was tempted when I got married a couple years ago to pull a Phoebe from Friends and change my name to Princess Consuelo Banana Hammock.
Mm-hmm.
LOL, obviously. I didn't, mostly because my then fiance Jim said he'd pull a Mike from Friends and change his name to Crap Bag.
That's
first and last name combined. And then with
that's funny.
Huge roll on the floor, laugh my ass off emoji dealio. She says, P.S., I'm loving the two of you together. Well, thank you, Carmela.
Thank you, Carmela. Carmela has been a staunch supporter of Civic Media for a very long time, and we appreciate you sticking around and being here with us. We like that a lot.
She also says, I wish I could stop eating fried dumplings or pot stickers.
Oh, there it is. A fried dumpling. Oh, just a dumpling. And they come in such small amounts, so you feel it's like, okay. Pizza. Let's talk about pizza for one moment.
Yes.
Pizza is great, but it's dangerous when pizza comes in the tiny squares, because then it's not a matter of like, oh, I had like 2 or 3 slices of pizza. It's, oh, I only had like 14 of those little things. What does that even amount? So I might as well eat more. And that, like, that's dangerous.
Before you know it, it's like 7,000 calories because it tastes so darn good.
So darn good.
John in the 608 says, are you kidding? Nothing. Eat it all and hope she enjoys it too.
Okay.
Read, read into that however you want. I'm not
I
sure.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I think there's something in there that was nefarious. That's all I'm saying.
Domely of Madison.
Yes.
What about you? What would you stop?
Yeah, I've recently been getting back into breakfast, and I think I'm just lazy. I never ate breakfast for some reason, and I think I'm just lazy.
You know, guys, I was really into breakfast back in 2009, when it was like really, really hip and really like really, really popular.
I don't know. I just it's not a part of me. But recently it has been, and I've been having so much Pop-Tarts. I really need to get off the Pop-Tart train.
That's a good thing to quit, too, because they're delicious. They're so good. I know.
Honey pie, that's not breakfast. That's a sugary snack.
Exactly.
Do you have breakfast today? I had a Pop. No, doesn't count. Eggs or, you know, toast or.
No, but he scrambles. He scrambles his Pop-Tart.
Scrambles your Pop-Tart.
It's like a protein, then.
That is disgusting.
Sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I was just going to Pop-Tarts, man. There's a point where I just had to like stop because they're so sugary.
Mm-hmm.
I can only, like, if you handed me a Pop-Tart, I'd probably eat half of it and be like, I'm done.
It's like 90% frosting, 10% anything else. It's just, it's
100%
too much.
Delicious. Yeah. If you put them in the toaster, you put a cinnamon brown sugar in the toaster, you were in flavor country for 20 minutes.
Do you want to get sued? We can't say flavor country on this show. We're going to get sued by that blonde chef.
Gordon Ramsay?
I'm unaware.
Oh, no, Flavor Town. He's Flavor Town.
Oh, thank
sorry.
God. I didn't want to say
Marlboro is Flavor Country.
Okay. All right, that's good. we have Tucker. I don't think Tucker should be off the hook here. Tucker, is there a food you wish you, or something you wish you could stop eating?
Yeah, I mean, I have. This is sort of a conflicted option, but. Coffee. I wish I could give up coffee, but I love it.
Wow.
I also love the culture of coffee, or like the culture, like being able to go to coffee shops. Of course, they have more options. But you know, I feel like I've had to increase. I'm at a big gulp basically right now of like being able to have the caffeine hit me. And I love coffee. I have drank it since I was 19, so it's just been a part of my life. But I do wonder what it would be like if I just eliminated the need for it, which is basically what it is now. So,
but if you do, it's very good for you. You know, it's got tons of antioxidants. It's just the caffeine, like.
But is that much coffee though?
Well, that's a lot of coffee. I'm just saying, I have like one regular cup in the morning, which I could not live without. And then I'll do a decaf throughout the rest of the day.
I think it's very funny that I didn't start drinking coffee until I was 38. And
oh,
I still
don't
really drink that much coffee. Like,
wow.
I like a sugary drink. That's what I like. I like the Pop-Tarts of coffee is what I like. but that's another one, too, like where like I was drinking a lot of coffee when I first started here because I was working a lot of morning shifts.
Right.
And I was drinking like a pot and a half because I was like, I got to drink. I got to be awake. And when I stopped, I was getting – when I wouldn't get the coffee, I get massive headaches.
That's – I think that happens, but I still think it's better for you than the people that load up on energy drinks and God knows
Guilty.
It's more of a natural – yeah. How about an energy drink with your scrambled Pop-Tarts in the morning,
Don?
That's
nutritional breakfast right
Breakfast
there.
Of champions.
Hey, can I get my Pop-Tarts and Red Bull?
got 608 says, good that you do not drink. As many are stopping. I have tried to quit ice cream, milk, Pop-Tarts. Love both of you together. Gotham adjacent.
All right. Well, I love it.
In the hizzy.
Thank you very
love it.
Love it. All right. Well, we got to go pay some bills right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking to singer, songwriter, and performer Tom Castle, talking about his new show, Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate, right here on Late Night. My goodness. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Stay tuned. You're listening to us. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. Sitting across the stage from me is Mr. Greg Bach. We are the hosts of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Funny how that works. This is the Civic Media Network. It is great to have you with us, folks. And I'm really excited to introduce this next guest. I became aware of his work about a year and a half ago through our mutual friend, Terry Barr, who showcased his music on one of our Bar Band Friday Night episodes here at Nightlight. And so I'm thrilled to have him on the show. He's got a great show opening up at the Overture Center. He is a singer, songwriter, actor, and teller of tall tales. And his new show is Dan Seavey Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate. Mr. Tom Castle. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey, thanks very much for having me on.
Our pleasure. It's good to finally talk to you. I knew of you, but it's great to have you on the show. And you sound like that intro could have been done in the 1800s. He's a teller of tall tales. And like, it's sort of what, tell us about you. I know you're a folk singer and all these other things, and you got this show, but you started, as I understand it, in your garage in Chicago doing rock and roll. And now you're this great storyteller and folk artist. Tell people about your career, please.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, Dominic did a good interview to set this up. Yeah, we're talking about garage bands like in seventh grade, eighth grade, high school, things mm-hmm. like that. And then ended up being doing a lot of folk things. Irish pubs, touring around the country and a little bit in other countries for about 7-8 years. Then I got into tall ships. And my old partner and I started sailing on a very old traditional sailing ship called Charlotte Anne out of Chicago. And she was originally a Chesapeake Bay oyster boat built in 1888. So we started morphing slightly from Celtic stuff to nautical stuff. So we were doing mm-hmm. sea shanties, you know, 35 years before it got viral. And
when you say viral on a ship, do you mean like scurvy, or do you mean just
that's a good point. Yeah, and the citrus fruit was not going to cure that, but
that joke.
So we basically wrote a job description. We wanted to sing and sail for a living and see if anybody would pay us to do it, and we did that for years. Moved to Madison after I broke up with my ex, and I was captaining a boat for the Michigan Maritime Museum in South Haven. Long story short, fell in love with my deckhand and followed her to Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
And that's where I kind of hit the reset button, started studying voice and a little bit more music theory. And then I got definitely sucked into the theater scene here and just love it. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my life. And Dan Seavey came across my radar a long time ago. Sailing on the Great Lakes, especially, you would get passengers on board the ship or at some of your shows, and they would say, you know, were there pirates on the Great Lakes? And if you Google that right now, you'll see Dan Seavey is the name that came up. And originally, before I was doing theater about 8-9 years ago, I thought I would just write a ballad about it, but never got around to it or couldn't come up with anything I liked. So I was thinking about a one-man play, but I thought, I can't do that. That's, you know, out of my league. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I'm in Madison and there's a lot of cross-pollination. And David Simmons from Fermat's Last Theater Company invited me to do a one-man show on Joe Hill, the labor organizer, which ended up kind of taking off and going everywhere from universities to the Woody Guthrie Center and the American Labor Museum. In fact, I'm going to do it at the People's Voice Cafe in Greenwich Village the week before we're doing Dan Seavey here. Oh, and it's really cool. And labor history is a good thing to know, especially.
Sure.
Well, hell, if you're on the station that you guys are on, you definitely want to know that. And
we do a lot of heavy lifting.
So basically, I thought, well, maybe it's time to do Dan Seavey. And it took about almost 3 years to write and develop. And I got my friend Francisco Torres to direct it. And we have a small team that's putting it together. And then we pitched it. We did a couple preview performances here and there. And then we pitched it to Four Seasons Theater. I had done a couple of plays with them. And they went for it. So they're going to be doing this thing called New Works on Deck. basically two world premiere Wisconsin plays, two plays that are, you know, brand new, One is Steady She Goes by Erica Berman. And my buddy Scott McKenna Campbell is the music director for that. We actually did some Shakespeare together a few years ago.
Jeez.
And I mean, if you had told me 10 years ago I'd be doing Shakespeare, I would say you're doing too many pop.
I don't know many people either. I don't know too many people either that dabble in Shakespeare. Like, that's kind of impressive. Like,
yeah, you know, just because if you're bored, that's what you do.
Sure.
When you're bored, you're like, let's knock out some Twelfth Night here.
Let's do some Shakespeare before the game comes on. Yeah, I get it.
Well, that's definitely Francisco. He started kicking my butt and started challenging me to do things, and here we are doing Shakespeare.
That is fantastic. Nice. Let's get more into Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate, after the break, Greg. Maybe we could do more of a deep dive on that. We'll tell you guys where you can see it and what stage it's on at the Overture Center. And I'm fascinated, too, when we come back, Tom, we'll talk a little bit more about pirates in the Great Lakes. I'm fascinated by that concept, too, and I want to know what a tall ship is. That's how ignorant I am.
Yeah, I wrote that down as well.
Oh, you too? Okay, good. I felt should I know this? Or So we're going to do all that when we come back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom Lee spinning the tunes. He's an adverb for tonight.
Oh, Dom Lee.
Yeah. We're coming right back.
Dom Lee.
It's great to have you, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
That's controversial because welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. Greg, you ranked the Beach Boys as one of your overrated bands, or was it songs we did the other night?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yes,
but overrated. In honor of Tom, our guest, that was a perfect song to play.
See, here's the thing is that, Pete, why are you starting things right now? What I feel about the Beach Boys is doesn't make a difference. I was trying to think of a better word, but I was thinking it doesn't make a difference. But here you bring my thoughts and opinions into it to, like, what, start something?
I'm just
you trying to get me on the bad side of Tom, who is a captain of tall ships?
I think Adverb Boy in there, Dom Lee, is the one who's starting it because he's playing the song knowing that you don't like the Beach Boys, Greg. I'm actually on your side.
So DJ Lee over there, DJ Lee in Madison, is trying to start some crud here.
He heard you just
on
say
week three.
He heard you say you've never been in a fight. He's trying to start something.
It'll be my
this
first
guy's
one,
an instigator.
Right? It'll be my first one, and I'm trying to appeal to Tom too. All right, come on.
All right, we have Tom Castle with us, folks. He has a great show at the Overture Center, and he is our focus right now, despite all this tomfoolery. He has a great show called Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate, that is playing over at the Playhouse, I believe, right, Tom, at the Overture?
Yep. Yeah,
all right,
correct.
March 28th. It sounds like a great show. What can you tell us about it?
Well, Dan Seavey was one of those sort of legendary characters that if he actually did half the things there are Dan Seavey stories about, he would have to be at least 200 years old. So there's a section when he first comes to Wisconsin. Back in the 1880s, he talks about the fact that he ended up in Middle Inlet, Wisconsin, and he was thinking of being a trapper. He was just beginning to get into these adventures, and he had already served in the Navy for 3 years and sailed with his father up in Maine as a little kid. And so when he comes into Wisconsin, it sort of suggested he's a teenager, but at the same time, he's got the experience of like a 35-year-old. So it's a little hard to see exactly what he is. I kind of modeled him after Long John Silver in Treasure Island.
Mm.
He's a guy, you meet him, he's interesting, he's charming. Then you find out he's not such a great guy. But in the end, you find yourself cheering for him anyway. You want, you know, you want him to get away from the cops. You want him to have a good life. And he is kind of looking back at life from being, you know, being an old man, just a few years away from dying. And he wants to leave a little bit of a legacy, you know, because, you know, I got kids and I got grandkids and a couple of wives. And I think those kids should grow up with some stories about me, some good ones. And he was known for having this sort of New England accent, and the stories in the play are mostly from a biography by a fellow I met at the Shipwreck Festival in Manitowoc years ago, the Ghost Ship Festival. What I ended up doing was Richard Boyd was his name, and I've been collecting, you know, CV stories for a number of years. In fact, one of the stories in the play is a story about a couple of kids in Escanaba who were stealing off of Seavey's ship. And when Seavey caught them, he kind of let them go. I won't do the whole story, but he let them go. And it turns out that the daughter of one of those boys is the person I got the story from, Joan Vinette. Up in Munising, and her dad was Joe Vinette, who was a shipbuilder, boat builder in Escanaba until just a few years ago when he passed away. And Vinette Boatworks is still an ongoing business. So the Great Lakes, there's this huge multi-generational, you know, maritime story that goes back generations and generations. And, you know, we're growing up in Chicago. I don't know about you, but I had no idea Chicago was one of the busiest sailing ports in the world for, old wooden ships. Mm. And there were 200 to 300 tall ships in Chicago, like on any given day back in the day, like between the Civil War and around 1890, 1900. And nobody ever taught us that. So I ended up sailing on one of those ships, you know, 85-foot schooner. Back in Burnham Harbor, and started learning the history. And I met a couple people that founded the Chicago Maritime Museum, and Ted Karamansky, who's a history professor at Loyola, once upon a time said, there's this collection of Great Lakes music at the University of Michigan, and if you guys are interested in music, you should go check it out. And that's what kind of launched the sea shanty part of it. Nice. Especially the Great Lakes sea shanty part of it. So it's different.
Something that we both had on our list and we talked about during the Super Secret Show, which, by the way, folks, you can get a hold of if you get on the live stream. I'm just putting that out there. you mentioned tall ships. What exactly is a tall ship? What does that, like, how does it differentiate itself from other ships and other boats that are sailing out there?
Well, these days, because there are smaller and smaller ships that qualify, but the main thing is that they are traditionally rigged. Like if you go aboard one of the tall ships that's going to be at, I'm going to be doing some hosting and tour stuff in New York and Boston in July. And the ships that are having 100 ships come from all over the world for America's 250th. And some of those ships are enormous, you know, 300-350 feet. Then there are other ones that are 80 to 150 that are also traditional. So when you step aboard a tall ship and you start to hoist sail and you're steering and you're doing all the shipboard things, you're doing it exactly the way they did in the 1800s. Now, you will have probably an engine and you'll have electronics and you'll have, you know, satellite navigation and all that kind of stuff. But the experience is something that goes back to at least the 19th century.
Yeah.
So it's keeping it alive.
Yeah. Okay. Our guest is Tom Castle. He is a kind of a showbiz renaissance man. That's how we were
talking
about you.
Does it all. My goodness. Yeah. I mean.
So what will that show be like if people come out and see Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate? It's you telling stories. Is there music? How does the evening go?
Well, they will meet Dan Seavey. I do it in person as okay. as Seavey. Mm-hmm. And I originally wrote it to be all monologue. And but then Francisco, my director, really wanted me to play an instrument or two. Yeah. And Sarah Marty, the artistic director for Four Seasons, also wanted to do that because she had seen me play many times as well. And so I gave in, and I'm really glad I did. So I'm going to be using the concertina.
Ooh,
don't have it here, but I'll be using that during the show. And then there are, let's see, I think there's four or five, there's five different songs that are traditional songs that go back, you know, 200 years. One of them goes back to just before World War II. And they're all from the Great Lakes. And one mm-hmm. of them is from Halifax, Nova Scotia, that I picked up when I was doing a sea music festival up there years ago. And there's one particular song, it's kind of a thread through the entire thing. And the concertina kind of represents one part of Seavey's life. And the other one, you have to come and see.
All right. Well, there you well, and well, that leads me to my question as far as like, because you said earlier, you didn't see yourself doing a one-man show. You've worked in theater, you've done show, you've performed in many fashions, but I feel like doing a one-man show or one-person show, however you want to say it, that's a huge undertaking for a lot of reasons. And I think a lot of it can also be overcoming the thing of, well, I can't do that. What yeah. was your process just getting into it where you said, all right, I want to do this thing, and then leading your way into, oh, this has to be a one-man show, and then finding the people around you to say, yes, you can do this?
Well, I think a lot of that, you know, you talk about Madison being this really, really nice melting pot of different different artists. And Francisco Torres is somebody I worked with. We did a play at Broome Street almost 10 years ago now, Reindeer Monologues. Mm-hmm. And he was on the other side of the table. He was on the casting side of the table. And then he started asking me, he said, oh, can you do like a Chicago Italian guy? And can you do a Scotsman? And you know, and he asked me to do all these different, you know, voices. And I couldn't figure out why, but he was casting a film he was doing at the time.
Yeah.
So, and I had not done any film either, but he's the person who's just like, oh, I think you'd be really good for this. So, and then it was, yeah, I think you should try auditioning for Madison Shakespeare. And then I think, yeah, maybe you should do this. And I have a phenomenal group of friends here, all kinds of artists. I mean, the last album I did like 6 years ago, unfortunately, you know, the bass player is Kevin Clark, who's a jazz player. We had Chelsea Shepherd, who's an opera soprano who now sings with the Metropolitan Opera Chorus in New York.
Oh.
We had Emily Mills on drums from journalist, activist, Derby Girl, and half of my favorite punk band, Damsel Trash. Dahi Wolf, who's the premier Celtic fiddler in Madison, and a couple other singers. Emily Morrison Weeks, and we put together this album, and I realized it was like nobody on the album was in the same genre of music, but we played together and had just the best time. It was just
awesome.
That's great. Tom, we've got about a minute left. I understand you're a fan of Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey because I listened to part of your appearance on Maxinc Radio. I don't drink much anymore, but I like to talk about Irish whiskey. That's my connection. So you're a fan of Tullamore Dew?
I am, especially it's kind of nostalgic because it brings you back to the Tullamore Dew ceramic bottles that they used to use. Right. And so that has a nice place in my heart. But there's so many great Irish whiskeys now. And I have to say, Colin Koenig over at Bartell Theater turned me on to my current favorite, which is Writer's Block. Writer's Tears. Writer's Tears. Oh,
that's sadder.
And I thought, you know, if you're going to be writing a one-man play and dedicating as much time to it, That's
perfect drink. Tom, thank you so much. Knock him dead at the Overture. And please come back again sometime. This is fun. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Tom Castle. Check out his show at the Overture Center on March 28th. Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate. We are coming right back with a kind of a new segment, right, Greg?
Yeah. We're gonna get ourselves maybe a cocktail. I don't know. I don't know if we're allowed to do that, but it's something akin to that. You'll have to stick around to find out, though.
Absolutely. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you ever want to get in touch with us, give us a call. Text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. The question of the night is, what is something you wish you could stop eating? Let us know. We talked about that earlier in the show. We talked about, I guess some people have a problem with Pop-Tarts.
That is true. I'm probably going to have some when I get home.
That's not, not breakfast. Yep. Not breakfast at all.
He doesn't scramble them at night.
But you can...
Craig's got a good dry.
I'm trying to think of the term. It's gone. The word like left my brain. Not broiled, but when eggs go on a...
skillet?
Not when you skillet it, but like a
grilled.
When you boil them for Benedict's.
Eggs Benedict.
No. Yeah. Exactly. Give us a call. Text.
Write us a letter. Would it kill you to write us a letter, folks?
That would be amazing if you wrote us a letter, handwritten. That would be absolutely wonderful. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Always love hearing from you, no matter whether you're calling or texting or putting something on the live stream. Very wonderful to be a part of the show. We have a wonderful show for you tomorrow. We are speaking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show here on Civic Media. In the first hour, we'll be talking about vaccinations. We were going to talk about an article today about vaccinations in the state of Wisconsin, but couldn't get to it because it was too much frivolity, too much anxious energy out there getting out in the world. And then in the second hour, we'll be talking to filmmaker Nathan Demming about his popcorn pick as well as what he's working on. And he was one of the people we spoke to about the Wisconsin Film Credit
Incentives,
program. The incentives there. So we'll talk more about that as well. So that's all tomorrow. And we'd love to have you here for that. We're here 5 to 7.
There's been an amended guest too. Nathan is going to appear with Jeffrey Kurz, who is a former Miramax studio employee, and now he is producing films out of Milwaukee. The two of them worked on Nathan's new film, which will be at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And then they'll make the popcorn pick, which I think will be really fun.
I love that. Nathan's a great, great, great guy to talk to.
Yeah, and
great,
very great talented guy. Filmmaker. Greg, this is our first iteration of this last segment. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell everybody what it's called?
We're calling this The Nightcap.
The Nightcap.
Do we have any music for that, Dom Lee?
Soothing,
Dom Lee?
Please.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Relaxing?
Not yet.
Your voice is soothing enough, Dom. That's okay.
Thank you.
Dom Lee.
Welcome to The Nightcap, episode one.
Welcome to The Nightcap.
Hey, everybody, pick up yourself a drink. Get yourself a cigar. They're on the cigar bowl. So we're just going to talk about the show. I feel like the show went really quick. Tony the Trucker listening in said, gents, microplastics. Unfortunately, even healthy foods are sold in packaging that leach microplastics. It's even in chewing gum. Yeah, that's something I think about more than I should. But yeah, Tony's not wrong.
I wish there was a way about the chewing gum.
That's been one of those things where you would think the government would walk in and be like, hey, stop doing that. But alas, here we are.
Buyer beware. Mike Desitel on social media says one thing he wishes he could stop eating are his words. Okay.
I was going to make that joke the entire time, but I didn't want you know. Thank you, Mike, for doing that. Thank you.
Great minds. Chad Fran says cookies. Oh, here's the problem. You've heard that Brian Regan joke? A serving size of cookies is 2. And his joke is, who the hell eats 2 cookies? Like Fig Newtons, I'm eating a whole sleeve. And I'm kind of with Chad there with the cookies. Scott Tom says sugar. That's mine as well. Rachel Monick, one of my favorite news anchors in Green Bay, says nerd clusters.
You got news anchors answering the show? Man, you are high society. Look at me. I'm jealous.
I'm trying to give her a news tip here. Have you ever had those? They're like really sugary, really addictive. Like nerds are addictive. These are clumped together with like a gooey something or other. And oh my gosh, they are addicting. I'm with Rachel on that one. And then Nick Cole says French fries. I think that's on a lot of people's list.
That's a tough one. Yeah. Someone, they didn't identify themselves at 646, says it's not Eggs Benedict, it's poached eggs. Nacho cheese is my never enough food.
Ooh.
Oh wow! I can never get enough. I know it's not Eggs Benedict. It's the poached egg. I was searching for the style of eggs. It's poached eggs, and they go on Eggs Benedict. But yeah, but that was 1,000 years ago. That I don't. Pop tarts. We were talking about Pop tarts because Domley is addicted to Pop tarts.
It's still true.
Dom, do you have a Pop tart that you prefer? And don't try to pawn it off as like the healthy version.
Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to sugarcoat it.
Hey, oh.
I like the ice cream sundae Pop Tart.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it is. Dear. It is. It's a real. Oh, man. I'm going to go buy some for you.
Okay.
They're so good. And you'll get addicted like me.
I'm off protein. So, yeah, bring as many carbs in as you
That's
want.
Perfect.
This all came about when Dom said he was really into breakfast. And it went from I'm into breakfast to I love Pop tarts to ice cream sundae Pop tarts.
They're so good.
You just like dessert is what you do. Yeah, you like desserts.
Anything with sugar in it is I'm game. I'm fair game.
I was raised in the 80s where all they had to do to sell you a sugary cereal like Cookie Crisp, I'm gonna use that as an example.
Say
the following sentence. Pete knows this sentence. Anyone who is over a certain age, it's all part of a balanced breakfast. That's what made you think it was healthy. You're like, well, it's a balanced breakfast.
Just that. I got to have some sugar.
So I can eat. And all they were, Dom, were tiny cookies. That's it.
Right. I will say the most addicting cereal for me was Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh.
You get some. Oh, man.
Nice. Oh, I like Cinnamon Life. Okay. All right. We'll talk more about this. All right, folks. We got to get out of here. We got a really big back into breakfast talk, but that's important because breakfast food is the most important food of the day.
Balance.
I want to thank... On behalf of Pete, we are going to thank Dom, Tucker, Traffic, Engineering. Without them, nothing works. We want to thank everyone who called, texted, got on the live stream. Without you, there's no us. Remember, tomorrow we'll be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well as Nathan Deming. Who was the other person, Pete? It's Nathan Deming.
Jeffrey Kurz. Yeah, it's going to be fun talk.
All here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. We are here on the Civic Media Network. Don't go anywhere. There's still lots of great programming ahead. Stay tuned. Stay close. Pete, send them off for the night, would you?
Good night, Wisconsin!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.